Today's reading is James chapter 1, verse 19 to 27. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put always all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father God, we do pray that we would experience your word as we've just been singing about, not just a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, but transforming, rebuking, lifting, protecting, working in our lives as we listen to your word about your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was very grateful to Klaus preaching last week at the morning service as well as at the German service. And the reason was to give me a break after a rather busy January when Larry was away. And Larry was away on paternity leave, taking the opportunity to get to know his little daughter better. And part of the excitement of new babies in their first months, well, actually it stays for a while with as they grow into toddlers and so on, is wondering what they will grow up to be like. Sometimes that sort of excitement expresses itself in sort of speculation and daydreams, and the parents trying to imagining reliving or living out the things that they weren't able to achieve through their child. I know my brother was longing that his son would be an England world-class cricketing bowler, and it didn't quite work out that way. But sometimes it shows itself in terms of observation. You know, you begin to look, see who are they looking like, who are they behaving like, what are their characteristics, what are the abilities that you see developing. You're thinking through that question, what will they grow up to be like? And in a way, I think there's a similar question behind today's reading. If we double back to verse 18 and verse 15, James uses a word for giving birth. In 15, it's translated literally, desire when it is conceived gives birth to sin. And in 18, it's paraphrased a bit, of his own will, of God's own will, he brought us, that is believers, forth by the word of truth. And that literally is, he brought us to birth by the word of truth. So thinking there of the idea of the new birth, spiritual birth from above. And each of us who is a follower of Jesus Christ has experienced that by definition. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christian, then you have experienced the new birth. It may have happened in all sorts of different ways, sometimes dramatically with an event, sometimes much more a process. It's what we hope and pray for our children, that they grow into the faith bit by bit. Whatever it is, we're born again, and then we start, if you like, the Christian life as like those newborn babies. And the same question is there in the background. What will he or she grow up to be like as Christians? What will their characteristics be? What will their gifts be? What will God's calling in their life be? What will God make of this person? Now, although the new birth is only possible because God brings it about, of his own will, he brought us to birth by the word of truth, That doesn't mean that the baby Christian, the young Christian, as they grow up, is only ever the object, not the subject, i.e. passive, having something done to them, rather than doing something themselves. As we hear in today's passage, there are lots of things the Christian needs to be doing to make sure they grow up to be what God intends them to be. So, in the first sermon I preached on James, in my notes here, in my text, there was very often the abbreviation T&T, and that stood for trials and tribulations, because that idea came up a lot in the first bit. Verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, the abbreviation I've got all over my text today is D&D, and that stands for do's and don'ts, or more often it's the other way around, don'ts before the do's. I don't know whether German has an equivalent to that. Do's and don'ts, we talk about a list of do's and don'ts. You might get, you move into a new flat and you get a list of do's and don'ts. Usually it's all about how to avoid mold in the bathroom. Or you're going to visit the potential in-laws for the first time. There are a lot of do's and don'ts there, things you do and don't comment on. Don't say things like how like she is to her mother and things like that. It doesn't usually go down so well. Do's and don'ts. The life of a child of God growing up to maturity involves a lot of do's and don'ts. And I've got four sets of do's and don'ts here, and you'll be very impressed with the very creative headings I've come up each time. So the first one, the heading is verses 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And the don'ts in this case are implied more than they're stated. You just have to invert the instructions from the positive. So instead of quick, slow, slow, you get slow, quick, quick. So it's a little bit being on a dance course, isn't it? Quick, quick, slow, quick, quick, and so on. But don't be slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. And it's important because that is the default setting for most of us. Most of us prefer the sound of our own voice. Most of us feel a greater responsibility to share our wisdom with those around us than to listen in to the wisdom that others might want to share with us. In fact, quite a few of us reckon we can read the mind of others so well and know what they're about to say that we interrupt them so they don't have to bother saying it anyway. We're slow to hear, quick to speak. So the do's aren't just important, they're also sorely needed. Do be quick to hear. Do be slow to speak. It's been observed that if God has given us one mouth and two ears, then it's not a bad rule of thumb to use them in line with those God-given proportions, listening at least twice as much as we speak. As for the anger, we can see why it's included here, because we're talking about listening and speaking and so on, and how do we usually, most commonly, express our anger? Through our words. Although some people are actually quite gifted at expressing anger with their looks as well. I don't know if German has an expression like looks could kill, but we have that in England, and we have a few practitioners as well. The angry words we need to be slow about don't necessarily come out of our mouths either. Nowadays, they're just as likely to come out of our computers or our smartphones. How often have you wished you had been slower to press the send button on that message or text, which you probably should have slept on before you sent it, if you sent it at all? And probably, if you regretted it, the person at the other end regretted even more that you hadn't waited a bit longer before pressing the send button. So let's aim to have verse 20 ringing into our ears every time steam starts whistling out of our ears, let's make sure this is going into our ears. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, in brackets, that's not to say there isn't such a thing as righteous anger or a right time and place to express it. He's talking about the human form of it, anger of man, the wrong sort of anger. Although I think I probably would say it's never good to express it in a non-flesh-to-flesh situation. I think you need to be in the room with someone if you're going to express anger. So what are people seeing as you grow up from a little baby to a toddler to a more mature Christian? Are you slow, quick, or, as you should be, quick, slow? And so we move on to our second imaginative heading, verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Again, the don't isn't expressed in so many words, it's more implied. Don't stay in your natural elements would be one way to put it. He doesn't mince words. Literally, it's something like put away moral filth and abundance of evil. These are not part of the righteousness that God requires. And I noticed only just before that this particular edition, I was preparing with the same Bible, the same translation, ESV, but a slightly earlier edition. And it, instead of having produced the righteousness of God, it says produce the righteousness that God it's not desires, I can't think of the word, but anyway, it's a slightly different thing, and I think this is more accurate, but I think that translation captured the sense of it, the righteousness that God desires to see in us. So that's the don't. Take off these things. They're going to be like the thorns which grew up around the seed, you remember, which choked it off and prevented growth towards righteousness. So the emphasis is on the do. Put away those things and, what are we to do? Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. There's an echo of verse 18 here. Remember that the word brought us to birth. We are brought forth by the word of truth. And that word of God that brought us to birth needs to stay with us. In fact, it needs to stay in us. The implanted word, if you like, in the soil of our hearts and minds, our souls, our spirit, so that it brings forth fruit. Now, in verse 18, we are the object. It's by God's will that we are brought forth. It's not something our own will brings about. He acts on us as object. But here, as that newborn baby is growing up into adulthood, or through childhood into maturity, we have a more active role to play. We are to receive that implanted word. I think that's meant as an active thing, not just a sort of passive, just accept it, but actively receive it. Now, you may say that's a little bit illogical. You've said the word's implanted in us, so how can we receive something that's already there? Well, if we shift from an agricultural metaphor implanted in the soil to an architectural metaphor, we could think of our life as a house and the word of God beginning in the hallway. So it's made it there, it's in the house. Receiving the word would be something like throwing open the doors of all the different rooms so that the word of God can come and impact and bring change in every area of our life. Welcoming the word, if you like, to settle and take up residence. And of course, we often talk about letting Jesus into all of our life. Well, Jesus is the word of God, so there's a lot of overlap between those concepts. And doing that with meekness or humility, as it puts it here, means we welcome the idea with a humility that isn't going to set terms on what the word does in our life. It means we welcome, as well as the word, we welcome the idea of aligning our life with God's word, not pushing back against it the whole time. And in due course, that implanted word, along with other things like trials and tribulations along the way, as we heard, but that implanted word will in due course produce the righteous life that God requires or that pleases God. So, make space. Welcome God's word into all the different rooms of your life. That's the second don't and do, or do and don't. And now to the third set, with the title verses 22 to 25. We get over the page. And the do is pretty hard to miss. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So this takes us on the next step. It starts with being quick to hear in our first little section. And once we've done that, we need to take action on what we've heard. We need to do that word which we've heard from God. And the don't is included in that. Don't stop after hearing the word. Don't just stop and leave it at that. And that don't is illustrated by the idea of a man who looks into a mirror. He sees what he's like, and the implication is his face needs a bit of attention in one way or another, but he forgets about it. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself, and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Possibly because he's vain and he doesn't think it needs improving, but I think the idea is that there was something that badly needed doing that he failed to do. So what should happen instead? He should act on what he sees. So it's really a question of not forgetting, but acting. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all his doing. The perfect law. It's quite hard for us to think of perfect law, isn't it? Probably, especially at the moment, we're living at a time when nanny state has imposed a rather lot of not entirely perfect laws on us. So it's a bit hard to feel positive about the idea of the law. So let's remember we're talking here about not human laws, but God's law, which means it's good, because he not only wants what is good for us, but he knows what is good for us. In fact, the Old Testament law, which James is referring to here, was always understood to be a reflection, an expression of who God is and what he's like. You remember one of the sort of refrains in the third book of Moses, Leviticus, "Be holy as I am holy." You want to know how to be holy as I am holy? Well, let me tell you, all these laws, they all reflect something about the way I am. And I want you to be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. Not only does his law perfectly reflect his nature, but on the other hand, when it gets to us, it perfectly matches our nature and the way we've been made. And that's logical. We're created in God's image, so it's natural that what is good for us will be aligned with the way he is and the way we are in his image. And so it is that he can describe the law as the law of liberty. We tend to think of laws restricting us, but God's law is the law of liberty. It sets us free to be fully the people God has designed us to be. But there are times when we look into the law as into a mirror, and we see that much is not as it should be. Much in our life is not aligned with the way God is. And it's at those times, we need to remember our do's and don'ts. Don't just walk away and forget that insight that you've been given about your own life. Do stop and act on what you've seen. And that will be a blessing to us. He will be blessed in his doing. So I suppose you could sum it up a little bit as, don't just stare there, do something. But that's something that you need to do after looking into the mirror of the word. May not be immediately obvious. It may take a bit of time and prayerful reflection to work out. It's not always perhaps immediately obvious where you're not aligned. It's not always immediately obvious how to get yourself realigned with God's good law. This coming Wednesday, as I mentioned, is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the period known as Lent, and it's traditionally a time of reflection. A chance, if you like, to do a sort of spiritual tuv on your life. Have a look into the mirror, if you like, a little bit more intensely and with a bit more time than you might normally do. I intend to do that. I'd encourage you to do the same. Look into the perfect law, see where you're aligned, see what you might want to do, what God is perhaps calling you to do to get better aligned. And once you've worked that out, be a doer, not just a hearer. And our last set of do's and don'ts we'll look at more briefly, because in a way these are a brief trailer or a spoiler for what's on the menu in the coming weeks. So we'll get the flesh on the bones in future weeks. But imaginative heading is verses 26 and 27. The don't is vain or worthless religion. And the do is pure and undefiled religion. Probably we could think of religion here as the outward expression of the relationship. That outward expression, the way we actually live, should reflect the inner reality. And if there's a mismatch between what is going on inside and how we're living outside, then that ends up being fake religion. So it's a question of bringing the actions in our lives into line with our hearts and the attitudes, or the other way around, so that our religion is consistent. We're the same on the outside as on the inside, pure and undefiled religion. And the particular do's and don'ts relate to three issues, which, as I say, he's already begun looking at least one case, but he's going to spend more time on. There's the tongue. True religion will mean controlling the tongue. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, zügelt seine Zunge nicht, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And then there's caring for the needy. And in their society, that meant primarily widows and orphans. A religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Well, in our society, the welfare state tends to look after those groups to a large extent, though there are significant contributions that can be made, fostering needy children, for example, who are quasi-orphans because their parents are not able to look after them for one reason or another. What Claudia is doing, of course, in Russia is living out this element of pure and undefiled religion. But there's no prizes for guessing who are currently the most needy group in society. It's those struggling in different ways with the consequences of the pandemic, financially, work-wise, through exhaustion, through loneliness, through depression, through all the illnesses which are not being properly treated because they've slipped down the priority list and so on. There are a lot of needy people all around us at the moment. And caring for the needy needs to be part of our religion. And thirdly, commitment to living differently from the world around us. He's really, when he says the world, he's thinking of the world as rejecting God and refusing to live by God's perfect law of liberty. We're not to be stained by that or imprinted or influenced by that, true religion will keep oneself unstained from the world. So if you just look down the page, you'll see at the beginning of the heading of chapter 3, taming the tongue. So you're going to get more on verse 26 there. If you look at the chapter 4, warning against worldliness, there's going to be more on that last bit there. So if you like, he's just thrown out some ideas there, which he's going to pick up on and run with and tell us more about. If you have been brought to birth by God's own will, if you're a Christian, then what and who are you going to grow up to be like? Who do you resemble at this point in your development? Who will you resemble in the future? These do's and don'ts will make a difference to how you end up. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And if you haven't yet been brought to birth, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, then here is what you most need. You need to be exposed to that word of truth. That's how God will bring you to the new birth. Perhaps I should read that again, because it was before our reading. Of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. It's what he wants to do for all people. Well, as I indicated early, Lent and lockdown have come together this year to give us even more time and space and opportunity than usual to give ourselves plenty of exposure to God's word of truth in the coming weeks. So, whichever category we're in, let us receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. Let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord God Almighty, we ask that that would be true in these coming weeks, that you would help us to use any extra time we do have to look more intently into the mirror of your law, your perfect law of liberty, and see where we're missing out, see where we're unaligned, and please, Lord, bring us into better alignment with the way you've created us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.